بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه ذلك الفوز العظيم صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening over the receiver, we continue our discussion of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een. Last week we discussed Sayyidina Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and today we discuss inshallah another very great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the name of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Abdullah, the son of Mas'ud, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhum, was the sixth person to accept Islam. So he was amongst those Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in who accepted Islam in the initial stages. He used to be a shepherd, or he was a shepherd tending to the sheep and goats of Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayt. We have heard many times this name. He was an enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was the same person responsible for throwing the camel's intestine on the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala is a youngster standing the sheep of Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayt. Suddenly he sees two people, elderly people, appearing, and that was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. They approach him, they are very tired, they are very hungry, they are very thirsty. And they say that, do you have some milk? So he replies, he was not a Muslim. At that stage he was a disbeliever. He says, we do have milk, yeah, I do have milk. But I am afraid, I do not have permission from my master to give any person milk. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, then do you have any baby goat kid that does not give any milk? So he says, yes. He's quite astonished that what would Rasulullah ﷺ do with a baby goat? So he says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he describes, he says, this elderly person goes forward and he passes his hands over the udders of this goat, and suddenly he says, I see that the udders swelling and they became filled with milk. And then he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had then milked this goat. He had found a goblet, a stone, which he had used as a goblet. They filled this with milk. Both of them quenched themselves. They passed on this milk to Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. He also becomes satiated, but he is taken aback when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his hand on the udders of the goat. He said, Bismillah. He took the name of Allah. He did some dua. So Abdullah bin Mas'ud was observing. He was listening attentively. So he pleads to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please teach me, allimni, teach me the words that you have just recited. I like to know what you read. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed his Mubarak hands on the head of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, the youngster, and he said, innaka ghulamun mu'allam, or innaka ghulayyimun mu'allam. Don't worry, my youngster, you will be taught. You will gain abundant knowledge. And exactly was the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala later on embraced Islam, just shortly after this incident. And when he embraced Islam, then he became attached to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kana mulaziman li Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He adhered to him, he clung unto Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whether he was on journey, whether he was at home, wherever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala would follow. And he would benefit greatly from the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. from the wisdom of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would listen very attentively to the discourses of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would watch every movement, every action, and many other sahaba did the same. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu also very famous. But Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala takes a qasam. He says, I learned 70 surahs of the Quran directly from the Mubarak mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he took a qasam once that he says, I swear by Allah, every single surah of the Holy Quran, I know exactly where it was revealed, why it was revealed. So this is the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he became a very great scholar. From a shepherd, he became the khadim of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would carry the miswak of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would carry the pillow of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would carry the shoes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would remove his shoes, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala would pick his shoes up and keep it with him, besides him, until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would require it. He was also bestowed with this special favor that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had shared certain secrets only with him. We mentioned last week, Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala was known as Sahibu Sirri Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was most famous for that. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala also had acquired certain secrets of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the list of munafiqin was exclusive given only to Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala. But Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala also had certain secrets given to him by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he embraced Islam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day expressed a desire, and he said, I wish that somebody would recite the Quran in Majid aloud to the Quraysh. Right till now, no person has done so. Is there any person amongst you who is prepared to go into the assembly of the Quraysh and recite some verses aloud? Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala stands up. Now, ulama explain the stature of, and the height and the physique of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. He was very short, extremely short, and very thin. You see, once he had climbed a tree to take out some branches for miswak. Miswak is derived from certain branch of certain trees. So as he climbed up this tree, it was windy. Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in were watching him, and his shin, the shins of his legs, became exposed. So they began to laugh. Rasulullah said, what are you laughing? Mimma tadhakun? What makes you laugh? What are you laughing about? So they said, diqqatu saqi Abdullah, the thinness of the shin and the legs of Abdullah bin Mas'ud. So we're laughing. Look how he looks. So thin legs. Rasulullah says, Allah's qasam lahuma athqalu fil mizan min Uhud. These two legs of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah will be more weightier on the scales than Mount Uhud even. So he was short, very thin. He stands up, Ya Rasulullah, I will do so. Nabi Kareem was afraid. Other sahaba said, no, you've got nobody to defend you, you're very weak. He insisted. He goes right in front of the Kaaba, the Quraysh had assembled there, and he began reciting, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Ar-Rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and he chose to recite Surah Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman, Allama Al-Quran, Khalaqa Al-Insan. Now this Quraysh began to hear, what is he saying? When they pondered and reflected, they say, this is the same thing what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought. So they stand up and they begin to beat him up. He bleeds profusely, his face is bleeding. Abdullah bin Mas'ud does not terminate, he continues. And they continue beating him up until he falls unconscious, he's unable to continue. After some time he comes into the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his face bleeding. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, did I not tell you? Did I stop you from going there? You shouldn't have gone. Now see what has happened. He says, Ya Rasulullah, if you give me permission, I will go again, I'll repeat. And I will go and mention these verses again to them. He was so brave and he did this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mentioned he was very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was given special permission. Special permission. No other sahabi was given this permission, to the best of my knowledge. That Abdullah, you have got full permission to come into my house without seeking permission. Unless I stop you. And you've got permission to listen to my secrets. Or whatever I'm mentioning in my house, you've got full permission to listen to it. Abdullah bin Mas'ud and even his mother would frequent the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would go there very often. Abu Musa al-Shari radiallahu ta'ala had come from Yemen. So he says, Qadimtu ana wa akhi, my brother and I, we came from Yemen. And we were still new in Mecca. And we really believed that Abdullah bin Mas'ud and his mother were from the same family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because we used to see them entering, coming out, leaving the house, entering so often that we believed that they must be from the same family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But later on, they were told that this is a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is not from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he would try to imitate every action of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I mentioned he was so closely attached to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that his mannerisms, his akhlaq, his style, the way he would talk to people, the way he would deal with people, the way he would walk, everything he copied Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was amongst those sahaba, there were six of them. He was amongst those sahaba who were seated by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when the mushrikun come there and they want to discuss with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam some matter, some issue. They say, Utrud ha'ula al-fuqara. He said, Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you wish to discuss with us or you want to engage us in any discussion, then chase away these downtrodden, paupers, poor people, these masakin. Chase them away from me, from here. How can we are elite people, how can we sit with the downtrodden people? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately sends down a verse, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِغَدَاةِ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. Oh, another verse, وَلَا تَطْرُدِ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. Oh, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not chase these people away. These six sahaba, don't push them away, don't chase them away. In fact, you have been commanded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to sit with them and be steadfast and sit patiently with these sahaba to leave the mushrikeen. And he was instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever the case may be, don't chase away these six sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, amongst whom was Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. In the battle of Badr, we know Abu Jahl was killed in the battle of Badr. A very long story with two youngsters, Mu'adh and Mu'awwidh, son of Afra radiallahu ta'ala. Now these two sahaba were in the battlefield, the front line, either side of Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala. And as the battle ensued, they asked, Ya Ammi, Ya Ammi, oh uncle, tell us, do you know Abu Jahl properly? Can you recognize him? He said, yes. So he asked, why? He said, no. We heard that he is the enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abdurrahman bin Auf looked at either side. He thought somebody strong will be on my sides. He says, so youngsters, obviously in the battle, if you have some strong people on either side, then he gives you some courage. Nevertheless, these two youngsters, they go forward. They find Abu Jahl. They manage to bring him down his horse. And they both attack him, accompanied by their friend also Mu'adh bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala an. So they attack him. He's on the ground, Abu Jahl. He's about to leave this world. He's still breathing. When Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala was also searching for him, he spots him. He goes forward. And because he was so thin, he climbs on his chest. And then he cuts off the head of Abu Jahl. So all these three or four people were responsible for killing Abu Jahl. After the battle, they ran forward to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Each one showing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam their sword, that we kill Abu Jahl. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at each one, heard the story, and gave each one an equal share from the booty. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you want to recite the Quran fresh, just as it has been revealed, then recite like the qiraat of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Once Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is talking with Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, very important mas'ala issue, late at night, when Umar radiallahu ta'ala goes by and he joins them. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes past the masjid, and Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would, and they see a certain sahabi reciting the Quran very beautifully. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam stands there. He listens to the recitation of this sahabi, and that was Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala terminated his recitation, not knowing that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is listening to him and enjoying his recitation. Then he engaged in dua. After reciting Quran, he began making dua. Now he is unaware that Rasulullah sallallahu is standing far and listening. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying, Sal tu'ta, sal tu'ta. Oh Abdullah, you ask. Ask Allah, beg from Allah whatever you wish. Allah will grant you all your duas and desires. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he heard that, he said, tomorrow morning I must go and give these glad tidings to Abdullah bin Mas'ud. That last night Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was enjoying your recitation. And he mentioned that ask whatever you want from Allah. You will be granted these du'as, that whatever you're asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls him one day. Oh Abdullah, recite for me Quran. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I must recite. Aqra'u alayka wa alayka unzil. Quran was revealed to you, and you're asking me to recite to you. He says, yes. Uhibbu an asma'a min ghayri. I wish to listen to the Quran being recited from somebody else also. So he recites Surah An-Nisa in the fourth para. The last quarter he begins. Continues, the fifth para he starts, he continues. Until he comes to a verse. فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Qiyamah, and every nation will appear before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the nation of Nuh alayhi salatu salam and Musa alayhi salatu salam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the Nabi of that nation, did you convey your message? Nabi will say yes. He'll ask the people, they will say no. So in one riwayat it is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask Nuh alayhi salatu salam, who are your witnesses that you made tabligh to your people? He says, Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ummatu. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his ummat, they are my shawahid that I preach your message. And this ummat will then stand up and they will bear witness on behalf of that particular Nabi against his nation that he came and he preached the message of Tawheed. So from each nation, the Nabi, either he will be the witness, or Allah Ta'ala will make this ummah a witness on behalf of the Nabi. Then, وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. According to some mufassirin, what it means, that, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you will be a shaheed, a witness against your ummah, those followers of your ummah, who did not accept your message. You will stand up and say, oh my Allah, I am witness that I made tabligh to them, I propagated your message to them, but they rejected your message. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had such a heart that constantly he was worried about his entire ummah. Entire ummah. That every person will be safe on the fire of Jahannam. And he couldn't bear that. Imagine on the day of Qiyamah, I have actually witnessed against some people of my ummah. He began to cry. Rasulullah is crying. Abdullah bin Mas'ud is reciting this verse, not knowing Nabi Kareem is crying. He's saying, Hasbukal an, Hasbukal an, Hasbukal an. Bas, stop. And Abdullah bin Mas'ud turns around, he sees Rasulullah crying. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala had mentioned that if I know a certain person knows, has got some knowledge of the Quran, regarding its nuzul, where it was revealed and why it was revealed and when it was revealed. And I do not possess that knowledge, but I know that certain person goes, even though he may be staying very far away, I would mount my camel and I would proceed in that direction and I would go and learn from him. Once Umar radiallahu ta'ala sends two people to Kufa, to Iraq. He sends Ammar radiallahu ta'ala as the governor. And he says, I'm sending Ammar as Amir. And with him, I'm sending Abdullah bin Mas'ud as a muallim and a wazir. He'll be a teacher, he'll be a minister. These two are from the great noble companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He tells the people of Kufa, you must follow them. Whatever they guide you with, you follow them. And then he says, أَثَرْتُكُمْ بِعَبْدِ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ. He says, I wished to keep Abdullah bin Mas'ud behind with me, but I have given preference to you people over my own self. I would have kept him with me because of the knowledge he had, and he would have been helpful to me, but because he wanted the people of Kufa to benefit from his knowledge, he sent Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an. Abdul Asidin Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, once there's a caravan that comes. So he asked somebody, go and ask him, Min ayna antum, where are you coming from? So some person responded on behalf of the rest of the caravan. And he said, we are coming from min al-fajjil amiq. We're coming from a very distant valley. So he asked, ila ayna turidun, where are you going to? So this, he replied, ila al-bayt al-atiq, to Makkah Mukarramah, to the house of Allah, ancient house of Allah. Now this is Arabic. Fajjul Amiq and Baytul Amiq. He was very eloquent. And he had a lot of knowledge. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he heard this answer, we coming from min al Fajjul Amiq, ila al Baytul Atiq. He said, there must be an alim in this caravan. So now he questioned them. He said, okay, tell me, which is the a'zamu ayat min kitabillah, the greatest ayat of the Quran? Abdullah bin Mas'ud answers, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Umar radiallahu ta'ala then asks, which is the most ahkam ayat of the Quran, the ayat which shows justice from all the ayats of the Quran, which ayat teaches us justice the most? He responds, Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan, in the 14th para. Allah commands us with justice and doing kindness, etc. Right till the end of the ayat. Then he says, which is the most ajma ayat, the most comprehensive ayat of the whole Quran? So he says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. Allah says, whoever does an atom's weight of good, that amount of good deeds, equivalent to a tiny little atom, so small, negligible, but on the day of Qiyamah, he will see it recorded in his good books. Allah will not deprive him. Allah is not an oppressor. Whatever he has done. And similarly, an atom's or action done equivalent to the weight of an atom, a bad action, a bad deed, that too he will see. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرَّ يَرَهُ. Even evil also he will see. This is the most comprehensive ayat of the Holy Quran. Then he says, okay, which is the most akhwaf ayat? Which ayat instills the most fear? So Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala answers, Umar radiallahu does not know Abdullah bin Mas'ud is giving the answer on behalf of the people. He summons somebody, go and ask them this question, and the person goes, and the answers come. Umar radiallahu acknowledges all the answers. Which ayat gives the instills the most fear? He says, مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءَ يُجْزَ بِهِ. Whoever does any evil, he will be punished for that action. Whatever the action he does. Whether it's big, small, major, minor, whatever su he does, yujza bihi, he will be punished for that action. Then he says, which ayat is arja, gives you the most hope? So he said, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. O my beloved servants who have transgressed, who have done wrong to themselves, they have not obeyed me. لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar رضي الله عنه said, أَفِيكُمْ عَبْدُلَّهِ بِن مَسْعُودِ. Tell me, is Abdullah bin Mas'ud amongst you people? They said, yes, Abdullah bin Mas'ud is present. He knew that it was only him who could have given such answers. Once he's sitting with the other companions, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and then he sees Abdullah bin Mas'ud coming. Abdullah bin Mas'ud, as I mentioned, very, very short, you can't even make him out in the crowd. Sayyidina Umar looks at him from a distance, laughing or smiling at him, smiles at him. He comes in, he's standing next to Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Umar is sitting radiallahu ta'ala. Abdullah bin Mas'ud is standing next to him. And they're busy talking, the Sahaba see, we could see that the halal wajhu Umar radiallahu ta'ala is, his face is shining, he's so happy, and he's busy talking, chatting with Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. And after that, Abdullah bin Mas'ud departs. Umar radiallahu ta'ala watched him, observed him as far as he could see. And then he said a beautiful statement, he says, Kunayfun muli'a ilman. Kunayfun muli'a ilman. He says, he is a small container. Kunayf in Arabic is a container which a person fills water with. A water container. So he's a small container, but that which is filled with immense knowledge. Allah has given him ajeeb knowledge of Quran and Hadith and the different sciences, fiqh, etc., and qiraat. He had mentioned many, many advices, anecdotes. I just mentioned only one, which is, inshallah, extremely beneficial if we remember this every single day of our life. What did he say? Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala said, "Ma minkum illa dhaifun." Each one of us, we have come into this world as a guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or we're a visitor in this world. We are a guest, a visitor in this world. Wa maluhu ariyatun. And all the things we possess, all our wealth and possessions, has been given to us as a loan from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has lent us all these possessions. So we are a guest, a dhaif, and wamaluhu ariya, whatever we possess, these are all a loan that we have got from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, al-dhaifu murtahil. For any person who gets a mihman at his house, after 1-2 days, he leaves. So he says, a dhaif, a guest, has to depart, has to leave your home. So like this, we have come into this world, and one day we have to leave. وَالْعَارِيَةُ مُؤَدَّاتٌ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. But you borrow some person's goods, somebody lends you something, so you keep it not forever. It's haram to keep it forever without the person's permission. You have to give him back. How often we take things from people, and after some time it becomes as though it is our own. The same person who lent us thing comes to our house, he sees the same thing on our shelves. Whether it be a book or a CD or a cassette. We borrowed it and then we forgot as though now it has become our possession. He says, an ariyat, something that we have borrowed, has to be returned to its rightful owner. In other words, all these things will go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's many other incidents. He passed away plus minus at the age of 60 years old. 33 years after the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, approximately. And when he is passing away, he's very, very ill. It is the time of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. So Sayyidina Uthman visits him. Ma tashtaki. What are you complaining of? What's the pain? What are you suffering from? He says, dhunubi, my sins. The illness I got is my sins. He says, do you desire anything from ma tashtahi? What do you desire? Can I get you something, some food, some water? He says, I desire rahmat rabbi, the mercy of my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, why don't I get a doctor for you? So he said, At-tabibu amradani. The doctor made me sick. So Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala said, doctor made you sick, what do you mean? He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave me the sickness. He's the doctor. He says, should I then fix any stipends for you? He said, no, I got no need for it. He said, okay, at least for your daughters, after you're gone, then they will have something. He says, I have taught them surah al-waqi'ah, and I heard my Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioning, whoever recites Surah Waqia every evening, لَمْ تُصِبْهُ فَاقَةٌ أَبَدًا. He will never ever taste poverty. Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in had genuine conviction in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they heard, this is the wazifa, this is what you must do, this is Surah Waqia, recite it, you will never suffer poverty, they adhere to it. And they were happy and content, and he leaves the world in that way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat of imitating these Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, bringing their teachings and advices in our life, because they were radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah was pleased with them. They were pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they got distinctions. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala, it is mentioned, in fact, every sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were shining stars. They were shining stars. So they got hidayat and they guided others. So if we read the biographies again and again, inshallah, something will rub off onto our lives, inshallah. In the tafsir of Surah Maryam, we had reached and we were discussing Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, we mentioned last week. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about now Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah says, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مُوسَى إِنَّهُ كَانَ مُخْلَصًا وَكَانَ رَسُولًا نَبِيًّا. And mention in the Quran, or speak about, or mention Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah makes mention of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam in the Quran also. And Allah says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ مُخْلَصًا. مُخْلَص means one who was chosen by Allah subhanahu. He was selected. وَكَانَ رَسُولًا نَبِيًّا. He was a Rasul, messenger, Nabiya, Prophet. Now in Arabic, ulama have gone into details in mentioning a difference between Nabi and Rasul also. Commonly we don't know the difference, we just say Nabi, Rasul, the same thing. But ulama have gone to even mentioning differences, many differences between a Nabi and Rasul. Now if you're going to go into those details, it's an academic discussion. Simple meaning of what some ulama have mentioned. A Rasul comes with a new Sharia. Comes with a new Sharia, and at times he comes with a new Kitab. And he is also instructed to call the disbelievers towards the deen. Whereas a Nabi does not come with a new Sharia. He follows the same Sharia of the Rasul before him, or the Nabi before him. Like in the time of Bani Israel, there were thousands of Nabis that came down. Now each Nabi did not come down with a new Kitab, new Sharia. They came down to Bani Israel who already had accepted the deen, but to guide them along and to implement the Sharia of the past Nabi and to make sure that they adhere to that Sharia. Yes, there may have been some minor things that they had to change or bring about. Those are minor things. But they did not come with a new Sharia. Otherwise, every Nabi that came, would have a thousand Sharia in that time of Bani Israel. It was not so. So a Rasul came with a new Sharia. He came with a new Kitab. And he was specifically instructed also to call disbelievers to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas a Nabi was not entrusted with that. A Nabi did not come with a new Sharia. Nevertheless, simple, every Rasul is a Nabi, but every Nabi is not a Rasul. Every Rasul is a Nabi, but every Nabi is not necessarily a Rasul. Musa alayhi salatu salam is a Rasul and a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shows his status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa alayhi salatu salam, very long story with Firaun, inshallah one day we'll explain the entire incident of Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. But he leaves Egypt and he goes to Madian, where Shu'ayb alayhi salatu salam was residing. Beautiful story, he is sitting under a tree, he's tired. Inni lima anzalta ilayya min khairin faqeer, oh Allah. Whatever you send down, I am dependent on that. And then he sees two young girls with a flock of sheep or the animals, and they're waiting patiently. There's a well there. All the other men had gone and they were feeding their animals. These two girls were waiting impatiently. So he goes, takes the sheep or the animals, and he goes to the well. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him ajeeb and very great strength and power. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was so strong that that incident when he's walking and the person who had summoned him the day previously was fighting with a person. As he's walking, two people are fighting. So this one person shouts for help. So Musa alayhi salam goes, intervenes. Musa alayhi salam, just one strike. One uppercut, as we see. Just one blow, one strike. The person falls down dead. فَقَضَى عَلِهِ. He dies. So strong was Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So he picks up the lid of the well with one hand. Now these two girls are observing this. Oof. Normally it takes two or three or maybe more, in fact, maybe five or six men to lift up the lid of this well. Musa alayhi salam himself. Just one hand he lifts the lid, so he's very strong. Then he feeds animals, he goes to the girls and he gives them the animals. And he shows haya, modesty, does not talk to them anything else. And these two girls go home. Their father Shuaib alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, how come you people came so early today? So they explain the story that it was a young person and very strong and he helped us. So he says, no, why don't you go and, so one of the girls say, one of the daughters say, oh my father, why don't you employ him? Why he is qawi and ameen, he's strong, he's trustworthy. So he says, okay, go and call him. She goes now. Now Musa alayhi salam has to come to the house. You and I would have said, hey, nice mawqa, this is opportunity, this is a valid excuse now. I have to go there. How? You expect me to go without knowing the distance? So I have to follow her and I'll talk to her until we reach there. He walked in front. She was behind. Now how is he going to get direction? There's no garment or anything. So the garment at that time was, she had pebbles in her hand. And to direct him to turn right, she'll throw the stone on his right hand side. Now you must turn right. You must go left, she'll throw the stone on the left hand side. And this is how he reached. Long story, he was employed there. Then he gets Musa alayhi salam married to one of his daughters. The mahar, you must work for me for 7 years. فَإِنْ أَتْمَمْتَ عَشْرًا فَمِنْ عِنْدِكَ. Give me another more 3 years, well and good. That's from your side. 7 years work, that's the mahar. Musa alayhi salam completes those years. And Shuaib alayhi salatu salam is the father-in-law, a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa alayhi salam now returning to Egypt with his wife. They lose their way. Absolutely dark. Very, very cold. They lose their way. They do not know which direction to proceed. So he requires some fire even to warm themselves, to get some light so that they can travel. He takes some branches or take two stones. He rubs it, ignites it, thinking that some flames might light up. Nothing happens. But suddenly he sees in the distance, he sees some light. So he thinks that perhaps there's some caravan there, and let me go there, and they'll give me some light. As he comes closer, he leaves his wife behind, and as he comes closer, this was actually the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Mount Tur. And Allah calls Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, وَنَادَيْنَاهُ مِنْ جَانِبِ الطُّورِ الْأَيْمَنِ. From the right side of Mount Tur, Allah says, we called out to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. وَقَرَّبْنَاهُ نَجِيًّا. We brought him very close for a secret communion. Now Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had luknat, as we say, he used to stammer. He could not speak very well. And therefore, as ayahs will come, that he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, you are telling me to go to Fir'aun. I'm so scared. So, why don't you make my brother Harun a Nabi also, who will support me in this mission of mine? أَفْصَحُ مِنِّي لِسَانًا. He's more eloquent than myself. He will speak. He'll assist me. Allah says, whatever you have asked, you have got it. Ulama say, no brother in this world has asked for his brother anything better than what Musa alayhi salam asked for Harun. Allah made Harun a Nabi on the request of his brother Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Harun was alayhi salam was elder than Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Nevertheless, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam goes there. Now he stammers. But Allah chose Musa alayhi salatu wasalam bi kalimullah. One who spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. So Allah brought him close in communion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him. In the 16th para, Allah ta'ala asked him, وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَىٰ أَوْ مُوسَىٰ. What's in your right hand? Musa said, so, oh, Allah is asking me a question. My Allah is talking to me. Before that, Allah said, إِنِّي أَنَ اللَّهُ. I am Allah. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا. There is no other deity beside myself. فَعْبُدْنِي. Worship only me. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي أَسْتَبْلِ الصَّلَاةَ for my remembrance. Allah Ta'ala made him a Nabi. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gave him injunctions. Then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala speaks to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى, what's in your right hand? قَالَ هِيَ عَصَايَ, this is my staff, my stick. Now Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala only asked him, what's in your right hand? The answer, it is my staff, bas. He continued, أَتَوَكَّرُ عَلَيْهَا, I recline on it, وَأُهُشُ بِهَا عَلَى غَنَمِي, and I shed the leaves from the tree, so that my animals can eat. وَلِيَ فِيَا مَعَارِبُ أُخْرَى, Ya Allah, I got many other useful purposes, and now he's elaborating. Because he was enjoying speaking to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Allah says, drop it down. أَلْقِهَا يَا مُوسَى, throw your stick down. فَأَلْقَاهَا فَإِذَا هِيَ حَيَّةٌ تَسْعَى, it became a serpent that was moving. The same stick Allah wants to show Musa alayhi salatu salam Allah's power. Allah tells him, Musa, خُذْهَا وَلَا تَخَفْ, grab the stick, don't fear. How is he going to grab the snake? سَنُعِيدُهَا سِيرَتَهَا الْأُولَى, we will bring it back to its original form as a stick, a wooden stick. Allah shows him his qudrat. Nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to Musa alayhi salatu salam, and Allah subhanahu also makes mention here, وَهَبْنَا لَهُ مِنْ رَحْمَتِنَا, out of our sheer kindness and mercy, we bestowed for him, his brother Harun, nubuwwat. وَهَبْنَا لَهُ مِنْ رَحْمَتِنَا أَخَاهُ هَارُونَ نَبِيًّا, we made his brother Harun also a Nabi. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِسْمَعِيلَ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَادِقَ الْوَعَدِ وَكَانَ رَسُولًا نَبِيًّا, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam specifically, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, he also is a Rasul and Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, make mention of Ismail alayhi salam in the book, إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَادِقَ الْوَعَدِ, he was true to his word. Remember what he tell his father, oh my father, if this is a dream you saw, then go and fulfill it. You will find me to be amongst those who are patient. And he was true to his word, he was patient. Father put Ibrahim alayhi salam, puts him on the ground and tries to slaughter. Ismail alayhi salam did not run away. He did not turn on against his word. He was true to his word. وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ, he used to command his family members with performing salat, reciting zakat, in whichever form it was at that time. وَكَانَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ مَرْضِيًّا, every Nabi was beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah specifically mentioned about Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, that Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam was very much liked by his Allah. Allah Marazi rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned the word مَرْضِيًّا, which means a person who excels in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with distinctions. Like our person in matric, 7 A's, now they get many more A's. Perhaps the examinations are much more easier now than before. So they get 12 A's and 13 A's. Here, every act of ibadat, whatever it was, whatever the command was, he got his distinction. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِدْرِيسِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقَ النَّبِيُّ وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا, Allah says, also make mention of Idris alayhi salatu wasalam, he was honest, he was a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Idris alayhi salatu wasalam is noted for many things that he initiated in this world. Writing with the pen. First person to write with the pen was Idris alayhi salatu wasalam. The first person to wear sewn garments was Idris alayhi salatu wasalam. Previously, the garments were made of leather and material clothing, or garments that were sold, or sewed. The first person to wear these garments was Idris alayhi salatu wasalam. Even mathematics, according to some Mufassireen, he was the one who initiated mathematics. There were many instruments used for weighing and measuring that we use. All these were initiated by Idris alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah says, وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا, we raised him in a very lofty position. Allah gave him a very high position. And then Allah Ta'ala mentions, and we terminate inshallah, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ, all these Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, أَهُ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed his special favors upon. مِنَ النَّبِيِّنَ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّةِ آدَمْ, they all come from the progeny of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Idris alayhi salatu wasalam was the progeny of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. وَمِمَّنْ حَمَلْنَا مَعَ نُوحٍ, and those who we boarded the ship with Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, we know that he boarded the ship and he had many people plus minus 83 people on board the ship from his sons. One of his sons from that progeny was Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Then وَمِن ذُرِّيَةِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ, from the ذُرِّيَةِ progeny of Ibrahim we get Ishaq and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. So وَمِن ذُرِّيَةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْرَائِيلِ, referring to Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, because Yaqub was the son of Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam, and from Yaqub we got Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and his brothers. وَمِمَّنْ هَدَيْنَا وَجْتَبِينَا, and so many others who we guided and who we chose. إِذَا تُطْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُ الرَّحْمَنِ, when the signs, when the verses of Rahman are recited, then we find that they go into prostration. وَبُكِيَّا, they go down, these Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they begin to prostrate and they cry. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he read this verse, he went into sajda, and after sajda he said, يَا عُمَر, هَذِهِ السُّجُود, this is the sajda we're making. فَأَيْنَ الْبُكَى, where's the crying, O Umar? فَأَيْنَ الْبُكَى, where's the crying? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat of bringing into our lives all these great teachings of the various Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen. We cannot become nabis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we can follow the teachings of our Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Islam teaches us Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Islam shows us that all these prophets that we had mentioned, and those that are mentioned in the Quran, and so many others that are not even mentioned in the Quran, whom we really and truly believe this is part of our iman, each one was a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We respect each Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't look down upon any Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, otherwise a person's iman is affected. And of course the final Nabi is Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the seal of all prophets. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.